Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. It is soon going to be Festival Acadiens at Creole time, and for our yearly visit, we welcome back to the studio a man who wears umpteen hats this time of year, and now getting to be pretty much year-round,
yeah.
Chef Pat Mould.
Hey,
how you doing, Pat?
I'm doing great, Cheryl.
You know, most people knew you initially. Well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say most people knew you initially as a chef
right.
in the culinary world. However, your involvement with music and with this festival specifically, mm-hmm. when did you start your involvement with festival?
Well, I mean, I've attended every festival. This will be our, the 39th year. We're having our 40th anniversary next year, which we're excited about. But I've attended every event going back to the Blackham Coliseum days. But I actually got involved. This is my 20th anniversary. Of being involved.
Of you being involved.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because you know what? Then I think because I've lived here now about 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten to experience, because I always remember, for me living here, I always remember you at festival.
Yeah.
So, okay, so it's 20 years.
Yeah.
And when you first got involved, Pat, what did you first start doing interviews or what was your...
Yeah, I saw a need for additional programming at the festival and...
At that time, how many stages?
Just one.
The
just
one
that
main
one
stage,
main
right?
stage, okay. Barry stage, as it's referred to.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And so I called up Barry and Ansley. I'm talking about Dr. Barry Ansley. And we kind of knew each other, but not really, you know. And so I just called him up out of the blue and said, look, I'd like to do some programming. I had been traveled around to other festivals, and I noticed they did these interview stages. So I said, can I come and set up a tent and just interview musicians? Because I was always fond of, I mean, I'm, next to food, my second passion is music. So I just kind of set up this little 10x10 tent and kind of just started grabbing musicians off the stage and dragging them down to the tent, which was in the Bayou Food Festival, and doing my Howard Cosell up close and personal
That's right.
interviews. And it just kind of evolved from that. But the whole goal in my mind was to eventually have multiple music venues at the festival.
Yeah.
It deserved it. You know, there was a lot of bands that were excluded just because of space limitations. So the Heritage Stage just kind of evolved from a small tent to a bigger tent to the, we went to the Pavilion for a couple of years over, which is now the Heritage side. And eventually we had that big revival tent,
That's
which
right.
was very cool for a couple of years. And then eventually it evolved to an open-air stage, which it is now. And so now we have the Atelier, where the interviews and workshops take place. We've added the dance hall tent. And
it's become a pretty popular tent, too.
Yeah, it has. It's got a wooden.
That last year.
Yeah, it's for all the old people with crickety knees, man.
Yeah.
There's a wooden dance floor out there. We're mixing it up over there. We're doing some Cajun, some Zydeco, and then we've added Swamp Pop to the mix.
Oh, fabulous.
For the last couple, two or three years.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think back to the visual artist, that mm-hmm. part moved. Now, that used to be when it was the Natural History Museum.
Yeah, the Crafts Fair.
I don't know where
Actually,
it was before
Hyman,
the Natural
Hyman,
History.
It was the Hyman. It was
it was in the back part of
it. It was
the,
in the back part of the Hyman.
That's right.
And then eventually, because, you know, remember the Bayou Food Festival used to be at the Hyman. And I had kind of a little hand in it moving to the park, kind of through the back door as a chef. I remember writing the JCs. I wrote the JCs a letter because I had done the food festival. And that was the other thing. I always loved to go to the food festival, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you had Jacobs and the Lodge and all these old restaurants that some of them no longer here. Mrs. Jacob doing
what
her
was
big
the Lodge?
Swim. The Lodge was a restaurant up on Evangeline, the Thruway, north
okay.
of town.
Okay.
They used to serve this great quail dish.
Ah.
And but, you know, the sales were real limited. And so I wrote the JC's a letter and said, man, why don't y'all move? The food festival needs to be in the park where the music is.
Yeah,
I mean, food and music.
That's
so,
right.
So they took my advice. So eventually the Crafts Fair decided they wanted to be in the park. And the first year we did it on the lakeside because our goal is to eventually encompass the whole park. But there wasn't much action over there. So we eventually moved them to where the Heritage Stage is now. And Miles Peterson with the Crafts Guild has done an awesome job. We have north of 90 vendors this year.
That's right.
So it's great. So everything, you know, you got the food, the music, the art. The Place des Petites, where we do the language, the kids' games in French. And so it's just the activity, you know, the Louisiana sports tent, the food festival. So it just has really blossomed into what Barry and I's vision was,
yeah,
you know, 20 years ago.
So back up for a minute for the sports tent.
Right.
Because I'm a sports freak.
Uh-huh.
So what is somebody going to see when they go to
the
tent?
They're going to see the, well, UL is playing the following Tuesday, but they'll see the Tigers playing, I think, Florida. They'll see the Saints playing the New England Patriots.
Yeah, so you don't have to miss any.
So you don't have to miss any. You know, you can take your wife out to the park and then every now and then sneak over to the to the sports tent, check the scores.
Do you know what I always remember, Pat?
Have a beer, huh?
When you had first, after you had moved into where you had a larger stage,
mm-hmm.
and it's when, you know, it was kind of the longer, you know, the actual performance stage. And I remember I was frustrated about having to be there on Sunday. I mean, I wanted to be there, but I'm a football freak.
Right.
And you guys, you had a little TV there.
Exactly.
And that just, like, saved my day.
Oh, yeah, Rick Guidry, who's been, I've known Rick going back to, probably 40 years. Our Sunday ritual is Rick does Bloody Marys every Sunday morning, and he brings a TV, and we watch the Saints game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've been doing that for, gosh, you know, as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
right.
If you were in the know, you would just kind of sneak back behind the Heritage Stage, and
that's
you could
right.
catch the score.
I know.
But now we got, you know, 42-inch TV screens set up in this tent in the Bayou Food Festival, and LA 31 is going to be pouring beer. And so it's you can catch the scores and then head back out and do a little bit more dancing.
Do you know what's so nice is that, and I want you to know this as you being one of the organizers,
mm-hmm.
is that I have a number of friends who are visual artists, and what that has meant to them and belong to the Louisiana Crafts Guild, when they are in the place they are now, it was always a feeling of, gosh, I mean, this is what I do for a living, so I need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then I miss out on the festival,
yeah.
you know. And so this way, they're hearing the music, they're smelling
right.
the food.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's watching their booth while they're running over and catching something. And
exactly.
I mean, that has been just a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and they've added so much to the festival itself, you know, because again, this festival is about celebrating our Cajun and Creole culture, and which includes all the components I talked about just a few minutes ago, the food. The Bayou Food Festival, the music, the Festival de Musique, you know, the Louisiana Crafts Fair, art.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the language is spoken on all, the French language is spoken on all the stages. So it's just about a self-celebration of who we are as a people and as a culture. And it's very exciting for me. I mean, you know, I don't speak French, but I grew up in a family that spoke French.
My guess is you understand it better than you.
Yeah, I
understand. Probably even give
yeah.
yourself credit for.
Yeah,
it.
I think. Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I see things now, and I understand what they mean even when I'm reading it. So, but I'm still. How do I say that when you only know one language? Anyway, I'm still French illiterate, is what I was saying the other day to somebody. But no, I mean, I grew up in a family where, you know, they were Germans and Spanish, but they spoke French.
Sure.
So I always heard the music. You know, my papa would always have the music on Saturday mornings when he was doing his chores around the house. So I'd hear it there. They'd go to Club La Cajun in Crowley to go to the dance on Friday nights. So it was just always kind of part of my makeup. It wasn't really until around in the 70s, really. Because, I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. You know, I was listening to Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and,
right.
you know, a lot of – although my music taste has always run the gambit, you know, but it wasn't until a performance here on campus. Oh, what was the accordion player's name who wrote the song Joe Pita de Femme? He played with No Strap.
Yes.
I'll think of his name. He actually committed suicide. And if I say his name, you'll know it. But anyway, I'm drawing a blank. And so I kind of got exposed to that, back to the music through that performance. And then just kind of stayed.
That he had played on campus here, like they had him set up.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Ducé, as a matter of fact, produced the performance. I think it was at Angel Hall or maybe Burke. I don't remember specifically, but you know, I'd always kind of been. You know, you go to Mamou for Mardi Gras. I mean, I always did that. So I was always kind of on the peripheral of the music.
Sure.
You know, kind of hanging out, and then as a chef, you know, you always. Run into, you know, I developed these relationships with musicians and friendships, I should say, with musicians. And, So I just kind of like that. I love to dabble in it. Like I said, when I'm not, it's the Festival of Cayenne at Creole is the one weekend out of the year I don't cook anything. That's my rule.
That's interesting.
I had a catering gig a couple of years ago on a Thursday, so I just made it under the wire
So
that's my rule. I don't cook. Although I organize the Cotis de la Table, I get all the chefs involved, but I don't actively participate in it. I got a couple of guys that are going to run it this year. Paul Ayo and Stu Gosseron are going to organize, run it for that weekend. So I don't have to have anything to do with the food except eat at the Bayou Food Festival.
What in terms of memories for you when festival first started? Do you have any memories that really stand out from those early years that hooked you in even more?
Oh man, I mean, no matter where I was in the park, I was always at the stage for the Balfour Brothers. I was always, and I remember one year when
did you know that what a big deal they were at that time?
Yeah, I think so. They were a big deal to me.
Yeah.
I kind of knew. I mean, again, we grow up around it I think we lose sight sometime of how big a deal some of these bands are,
That's
you know.
Right.
But yeah, I used to love to watch the Balfour Brothers play. And so that was my thing. Every year I was in front of that stage. So that, Wayne Toups, the first time I saw Wayne Toups perform at the festival was just like, wow, whoa. And we're both from Crowley. I remember going to the El Toro Lounge in between Crowley and Rain.
Yeah.
And watching Wayne play. He sat on a chair. He was young. And
at that time was doing something different than what?
Well, it was still more traditional at that point.
Okay.
I mean, he was playing with, I think, Johnny Allen. He was sitting with Johnny Allen's band. And so it was still very traditional. It wasn't until the 70s, I guess. Let's see. Let me think about this. A little bit later, probably, where he created the whole Zotti Cajun thing and just, blew up.
Yeah.
It's really great to see him kind of going through a second phase right now. I mean, he was always popular. He's always been popular. No doubt about that, but I think he's going through a second phase of creativity and doing something different with the music. But
because there's people listening to him now that really didn't before, that weren't paying, they
weren't
knew
paying
who he
attention.
Was.
But, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's an incredible musician, and that band of his always rocks. And so that was a kind of an eye-opener. The Blackham Coliseum performances were always incredible. So it's just, there's so many memories. I mean, interviewing Okta Clark at the Heritage Stage back when in the 10 by 10 days. That was a classic.
Yeah.
So it just, oh, man, Boisak Ardoin, Ken Ray Fontenot, and Michael Duse at when we moved to the pavilion, when the Heritage Stage was under the pavilion. I remember Ken Ray Fontenot at that time was fighting cancer.
Mm.
And, man, he was just, he looked, I said, Mr. Kenry, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm doing okay, I guess. I don't know. And I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's going to die on my stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, and then Michael kept looking at me, And then when he picked up that fiddle and he started playing, he got that big smile on his face. And it was like everything was good. And it was one of the most cosmic things.
I just took you to that. I was just going to say, I bet that took you to another place.
Michael kept looking at me like shrugging his shoulder, like, I don't know where it's coming from is what he was telling me. And it was just, one of the most incredible performances. And Boisak, the rock that he was just right there, man, the whole time just playing. And then Michael was just working his magic. So it's, the list goes on and on. I could sit here for hours and just talk about memorable moments at Festivals of Cayenne.
What a great thing for your life, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it really has been a good thing for my life, and I enjoy doing it. And, being a chef, we're about vision, taking a vision. We take ingredients and we put them on a plate, but we have a vision of how we want them to look on that plate before we start the cooking process. And so I just approach all these things like that, I mean, I've had this vision in my head for 20 years, literally, of how I thought the festival should look and feel. And luckily, we have a great group of people on the board who understood the vision. And it took a little bit longer than I'd hoped. But when the JCs fell out, and we formed a new board, it really just blossomed. I mean, we did 3 venues in 1 year.
Yeah, and, Pat, I think something that you just said that's real important And I think also talks about who you are as a chef in that profession is when you used the term feel. You know, I had that vision of how you wanted it to feel.
Right.
And I mean, as a chef, that emotional connection is very strong to what you're doing with food and how you're preparing and the presentation. And so, I mean, that just goes hand in hand with what you're doing with the festival. I mean, you think about the visual arts, culinary, and I'm going to throw sports in. And I have a lot of friends who will criticize me, but it's very emotional.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, that's an important word that you talked about to get that feel.
You know? And you know, also being in food service, being in restaurant chefing business, you're always thinking about how you can make your guests feel more comfortable.
That's right.
So even to the point of having better signage, having better sound, better facilities for them to use, more options, you know, for them to choose from. So it's on both sides of the fence, really.
You know what? I just want to ask you if we can just talk to for a minute, because it's a question that comes up from a lot of people. And it's something, though, that there's also a lot of people that don't even think about it. They just go, be at the festival. You don't even think about what goes into organizing something like that. But what has worked really well, from my opinion, for Festival Cariñanes right now is that you have added in all of these different stages. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of audio. That comes from also at the cooking stage. They're doing demonstrations. How does that get planned out? I mean, because there's something that has to go into that so that you make sure who's over here can hear this. This isn't bleeding into this.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of weird because, you know, the way it just kind of happened organically, really, because we get very little bleed over. Although Todd Mouton's over there at the Atelier stage every year with his iPhone and the little
He's got his app on.
Yeah, he's got his noise app and like you're 10 decibels over. I'm like, chill out, dude.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. You don't really get a hold, because once you're into that space, it's what you're seeing kind of takes over the space. And I don't want to get too out there about it, but it's like it's really amazing how the park is just kind of laid out perfectly, because there's very little bleed over from the to the chef stage, which is in a direct line of sight of the main stage. But we give just enough amplification over there to where it kind of overpowers any sort of bleed out. And the same thing at the Atelier, the same thing at the dance hall. So you have just enough audio in that space to where it kind of fills the space and blocks out any other residual noise.
It's been interesting watching that, you know, because I have been able to watch as each thing gets added, and it's a wonderful atmosphere.
Well, thanks.
And I just think sometimes too, you know, hats off to all of you who are putting those. I grew up in a family that worked on festivals, and so I know watching my folks how much work that is.
It is a lot of work, and you know, it's amazing. We've had people that have been involved. I mean, Barry's been involved. Ansley's been involved at every festival. Helena Putnam has been involved for well north of 20 years, if not longer. Andre Mitchell is the newbie. He's been, I think, involved for about 10 years. Lindsay LaGrange, she's been involved. I think she came on board right around the same time I have. So these people have been involved for decades this. And you know, we're a committed group.
That's right.
Well, maybe we should be committed also, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But you know,
second half.
Yeah, exactly. This group is committed to this process, and a lot of thought goes in. It's not just show up the weekend of. There's a lot of planning that goes in weeks, well, months in advance.
Yeah. Well, let's give people a taste of Festival Past.
All right.
This is actually from a CD that was put together with actually KRVS's own Bill Bolins, but with the Center for Louisiana Studies.
Yeah, and Bill was hitting a VHS, recording a VHS tape onto a VHS tape off the KRVS broadcast in Baton Rouge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what came out of it. We started digging deep into the archives at the Center for Louisiana Studies over there, and we've been producing CDs now, and this is one that we produced.
And a song we're going to listen to, which, you know, has some good meaning to you with Beau Soleil.
Right.
Le Chanky Chank Francaise. That band for you, you've been watching them for quite a few years.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of, you know, one of the things that attracted me to this music was the rawness of it. You know, it was just always, I loved that raw feel to it. What Beau Soleil brought to the table in my opinion, is they proved that there could be a tightness to the group. Yeah. To me, they were just such a tight-knit group from the beginning. And that's what always amazed me about them. No matter how many times I saw them, they all started and ended on the same note.
And
to me, that was fascinating.
That's right. Well, we're going to listen to, this is Beau Soleil, Le Chanque Chanque Francais. That was Beau Soleil. That was from Festival 1994.
Yeah, yeah. Memories. I think it was Errol Verrett. It must have been Errol Verrett on accordion.
That was Errol Verrett.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, man, whoever it was. I mean, like I said, they just It was like they always took it to the edge, but it just never quite fell off.
Yeah, that's right. And too bad that this is radio, because if people could have seen Pat knew exactly where certain things were coming in on that song, too. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange, and my guest in the studio today is Chef Pat Mould, and we're on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at www.krvs.org. And KRVS will once again be broadcasting from Festival Catalans this year, which is
live in the
coming
tent.
That's right. Coming up soon, October 11th through the 13th. And Pat, the festival kicks off on that Friday evening.
Right. Friday night kicks off at, well, we have the official cutting of the boudin.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock.
Who makes that?
Johnson's Boucanier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so we cut the boudin at 5 o'clock, and then Gino Delafos with special guest Joel Saunier are going to play. And then after that, it's Jambalaya Cajun Band with D.M. Menard, Belton Richard, and all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, Mr. Jimmy C. Newman.
Boy, yeah. What a great, yeah. Great lineup for that.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, it's the theme this year is Cajun and Creole Cowboys. And so we're kind of playing off that cowboy theme. And Downtown Live has decided to acquiesce the Friday night to us.
That started a couple of years ago?
Or no, this year is the first year.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, the Fado Dough started. This will be our third year
doing
the Fado Dough,
yeah.
I think. And so all the activities for that Friday evening will take place in the park. But it's a Cajun Creole cowboy theme this year. The first cowboys were actually from this area. They were French-speaking Cajuns and Creoles. A lot of people don't know this, but there was a Dautrey cattle compact. A gentleman wanted, Mr. Dautrey wanted cattle run from Mexico through Texas back into Louisiana, and he got these Cajun and Creole cowboys to go up there and fetch them, if you will.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't really know that. So we're focusing in on that culture. There's still a huge cowboy culture here in Southwest Louisiana. And this year's honoree is walked in both paths, music and horsemanship, Mr. Boozoo Chavis.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and we're really excited about having Boozoo.
Who's the festival artist for this year,
Tony
for the
Bernard.
Poster? And that, I mean, I tell you folks, if you haven't seen that poster yet, it's incredible.
He nailed him. I mean, Boozoo used to have this little thing he would do with his tongue. When he played, he would stick out his tongue just a little, and Tony nailed that.
And he got that in there.
He got that in there.
Wow.
And it's a picture of Boozoo with his horse in the park. It is an incredible image. I mean, Tony Bernard is an incredible artist, and really, I'm not just saying this because I'm part of the festival, but it is one of the most incredible posters we've
ever
done.
I mean, it's very lifelike, you know.
It's like Boozoo is there. And when he first started penciling, I was a little worried, you know, and I'm not speaking out of school. Tony knows this. But, man, when I saw the finished product, I was like, my God, dude, you nailed it.
That's right. And then the other thing about that, you know, how visual art, you know, affects you, the colors that painting and in that poster are incredible.
Yeah, he has a very vibrant style, very colorful, but lifelike.
That's
you know,
right.
I mean, it's not over-the-top color. It's very just incredible image. And so we're excited about having Boozoo be this year's honoree. Of course, he had a ranch in Lake Charles called Dog Hill.
Yeah.
Roof, roof.
Boy, and for years had, you know, after the Zydeco Festival and plays on, some people had there for Monday for Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. Monday. I've been there a couple of times. I've got a signed apron from Leona and Boozoo.
Very cool.
And he even got, again, I'm not speaking out of school, but I convinced Tony to put an apron on Boozoo.
Yeah, because that's how you saw him.
That's how you saw him.
Yeah.
And he's got to get cooking with Boozoo and Leona on the bottom of the apron.
Very nice.
It's we've got a lot of good response over that poster. So, you know, Boozoo took a break in the 50s, late 50s. He came on the scene and then took a break in, I think it was 58, he retired, went into retirement. And then when Clifton died, I guess that was around 87 or so, he came out of retirement and really, you know, had not missed a beat at all. And what I love about this cut we're going to play, one of the things I loved about Boozoo when he came out of the chute with all guns, man, and this song we're going to play is very indicative of that. He just came out with all guns blazing, and he just never stopped.
Yeah.
And he used to have this saying, I hope I get it right. He says, follow me no matter what. He says, if I play it wrong, you play it wrong.
That's right.
If I play it right, you play it right.
You know, I always remember, you know, since I have lived here, when Boozoo would play at, and it, more so it stuck out when it was the old Richards Club,
mm-hmm.
and they would have the front table,
mm-hmm.
and they would unload, and they'd have all their Tupperware with their sandwiches and all their, you know, their chips and dip and stuff, and that was just such a cool visual.
Yeah.
You know, there was all his family and friends at that front table, and right. unpacking the Tupperware with
yeah.
it. You know.
You know, that was the green room.
That's
back
right.
in the day.
It was. You know, it was. That was so
at
cool.
At Richards Club.
Now, the CD that we're going to listen to a cut from,
mm-hmm.
Is this CD all Boozoo?
All Boozoo. It's a complete set. It's just all Boozoo. And
who's working on this, Pat? Who's
Barry and I are executive producing them, but Chris Segura is producing.
From Center for Louisiana Studies.
Center for Louisiana Studies.
Amongst other things in his life.
I know, man. Chris is awesome. And you know, we're working real, you know, that we have decades of music
yeah.
in the archives. So what we decided, I guess, about 4 years ago was we were going to start pulling some of that material out and start putting it on disc. And we've been working with Joel Savoy with Valcor Records.
Okay.
They've been helping us with the distribution. And the thing about it is we're continuously making material because we record every stage now at the festival. So we could literally put out hundreds and hundreds of CDs. So
yeah.
we don't make a whole lot of money on them, to be perfectly honest about it. But whatever money we do make, we put back into the next year's project.
Sure, sure.
But we just wanted the material to be out there because it's incredible material.
That's
you
right.
know? So I encourage people to buy them at the festival.
So yeah, they will be available
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we'll okay. have all the CDs plus the new Boozoo CD will be out. By then, and we'll have a merch tent set up in the Talking Tees merchandise tent,
okay.
where we sell all. He sells all the T-shirts and all that good stuff, and then we sell all our merch, festival official posters and pins and CDs, and we have the official festival book. That
yeah,
we
so. Yeah. Well, you know, and part of that too is that it's such a. I just think of when. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago at home, I had pulled out, it was the one that Valcor and they had worked Festival Cadenza Creole from 2002,
mm-hmm.
and the song Bone Rev, which
yeah,
is,
right.
is just like one of my favorite yeah. songs. But, you know, it's such great memories, and you picture you're right back there
mm-hmm.
standing at the park, you know, whatever you're doing, dancing, throwing your hands up. It's good memories for people to have with that.
Yeah, you know, what that song did, you know, it's talking, you know, if you want to talk about the evolution of this music over the decades, I mean, that was another evolutionary moment when Steve and them started making those songs that really just spoke to a whole nother generation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
much younger than me.
That's right.
And, so you can look at this music over the decades and just see how it's evolved. It's still true to its raw roots.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are these sparks of evolution that where the music gets a little tighter or the songs get a little bit tighter, you know, a little
That's
bit
right.
Speak a little bit more to people. But, you know, it's just I can't. Again, and it's odd that I love this music so much, and I only understand about 40% of it, what they're saying.
You know, it's interesting, though, is that, you know, you look at so many of the bands that, you know, you and so many other people have watched over the years, and a band like Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys, who have covered, you know, a lot of the older players, you know, the songs that have really, you know, been hits for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think of Bone Rev, a young guy, you know, Caleb Elliott, who's really broke onto the music scene now, recorded, you know, Bone Rev. So, I mean, you know,
yeah,
it's
right.
now, you know, here's Sam writing that song, you know, with Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys, and now there's a song from that band that's getting passed
next
down.
Generation.
It is.
Right, because if you look back at a lot of the Beausoleil songs and a lot of these songs, even Steve and them early on, I mean, these were old songs that have been either recorded or in most cases not even recorded, found in the archives
That's
over
right.
there at the university.
Yeah.
And but then they also did some writing in the process. All these bands, whether it was Beausoleil or Zachary or Steve or whoever, Clifton. I mean, they were all doing writing. And so like you said, now there's a generation of young musicians that are coming up and looking to those records.
Yeah.
That aren't that old.
That's right.
To include in their repertoire.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating.
And, you know, you think about a guy like Steve, too. Where, I mean, he's not an old guy, but he's not a kid anymore, you know.
Oh, no,
he's getting
old, man. Have you seen him lately? Yeah, he's looking bad, man.
But, you know, that you forget how young it was that he started and,
Steve was sitting on a chair playing with Dewey Bafa at my wedding reception.
That's how old I am. Yeah.
But
you guys were the same age back. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, I was. I got
child grooming.
Yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, exactly. And but no, I could. Yeah, Steve. He started out in Dewey Bafa's band as an accordion player.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's been the fun thing, you know. For, like I said, I've only been here for, you know, a little over 20 years, but for people who have been around from the beginning of this festival. You know, you look at people, too, like, you know, Christine Buff. I mean, people have watched certain musicians grow up at this
festival.
Christy
Gilroy, that's another one.
Yeah, Christy, that's right.
Talking about writing songs.
And she's still so young, and yet she is a veteran of, you know.
Total veteran, man.
I mean, she's something else.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen. We're going to listen to a cut off of and is it going to be called? Do you have a title for the CD? Is it?
It's Buzu Chavis and His Magic Sounds at Festival of the
Festival Cadillans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plain and simple.
And we're going to listen to, it's going to be a cut from Buzu. You can pick the CD up at Festival this year from October 11th through the 13th.
S'il vous plaît. Donnez une main à Monsieur Buzu Chavis et ses Magic Sounds. Arrête, Kobe.
All right. Thank you all very much. We'd like to say hello to each and every one.
CD this year at Festival Acadiens at Creole. And that CD is going to feature all Buzu Chavis.
That's right. All Buzu all the time at Festivals Acadiens at Creole. We're really excited about it.
That's right. And joining us now in the studio, I'm glad I get to say that because she always says it. So joining us in the studio now is KRVS's own Judith Merriweather. So welcome, Judith.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having KRVS on your show.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. But we've been talking, Pat and I have been talking about festival this year, and KRVS has been involved with festival. Do we know, like, how many?
I think it goes back to the very early 80s.
Okay.
KRVS went 100,000 watts in 1982, and very shortly after that, and because the mission that we had in going 100,000 watts was to help serve the rural population and to reflect the cultures of South Louisiana, particularly the rural indigenous cultures, one of the things we began doing was carrying the festival live. And we're actually, with this tent, kind of going back to the way we used to do it. Pete Bergeron and a whole host of other people who used to do shows on KRVS or just kind of were around the station would set up a little tiny tent outside near the stage, and they had a little microphone, and they would do interviews with musicians. And so we're kind of going back to that. Of course, since Carl has become our engineer, there are all kinds of ways to
because he's the mad scientist.
He's the mad
you know.
Scientist, and so we've done it in a number of ways, including having an on-site studio and having people here in the studios. But I know that Pat had suggested that we actually have a presence where people could see us being on the air.
Yeah, they're too pretty to keep in the studio. You know, we want to get
they
them
all
there.
Don't have radio faces, right?
That's, yeah, exactly.
Faces for radio,
exactly.
As they say.
Yeah. That's right. And people have really been just clamoring to see Pete Bergeron again out there.
No, it's Pete Bergeron.
And I have, in fact, I should bring to our tent some early photographs of what we looked out like out there back in those days. And, of course, the festival was a little different. There was just one stage at that time. Right, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, once it just kind of made sense. Again, talking about the evolution of the festival and the addition of these new venues, it just kind of made sense to, you know, for KRVS to have even a bigger presence, I mean, and be out there with the people and interviewing musicians and artists and chefs, as well as broadcasting the music from the stage. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, because for so many people, not everybody is lucky enough to be able to be there every minute of the festival. I mean, there's family obligations, there's work, and then sometimes you're, you know, having to go from whether it's work to the festival, and it's so great to turn your radio on, and you're not going to miss what's been going on.
Right, and in carrying it live, KRVS started at the first downbeat, and we carried it until the breakdown of the last stage. And so it's a long tradition that KRVS has had carrying the entire festival. And as I said, we've done it in different ways. In the past few years, we have sort of been hidden a little bit. People can hear it on the radio, but we haven't had such a visible presence at the festival grounds. And so this is going to offer us that. We're going to be very close to the food festival.
Correct. Right there in the food festival, kind of near the sports tent, so we can get the LUS fiber internet connection. And, yeah, you'll be able to come by and visit with some of the producers and staff and of KRVS and get some information, you know, how you can become a member or just say hello, you know. And so I'm excited about having KRVS out there live and in person.
Live and in person.
Right, and there will be several persons there, you know, announcers that people may want to meet on Saturday. Herman Fuselier will be out there. His show is normally from noon until 3, and so he'll be hosting the festival from the tent. You can
very
come and
nice.
Meet Herman. On Sunday, I believe Gervis Mott may be kicking it off, and then it will go to Jules, Nonk Jules. Jules Guidry will be out there as well, and then various other announcers will be at the table and talking with people. So we're excited to have this opportunity to speak with listeners and potential listeners. We're also excited because this is our 50th anniversary.
Wow.
We've only been 100,000 watts since 1982, but we went on the air in 1963.
Wow.
Nobody quite knows the month, but we're celebrating it during our fall fundraiser. So that's going to be a nice opportunity to celebrate that, our 50 years of presenting culture and
yeah,
educational
and
programs.
I do want to say that fall fundraiser then is it's the weekend right after festival.
Absolutely. So as Pat mentioned, people can sign up to become members at our tent, and we will be raffling away some of our items, some of our big ticket items like our chair, our festival chair. So perhaps you haven't been able to donate at that level before. for. You can come and drop your name in a bowl, and we'll be pulling. We'll have a drawing for the chair and perhaps some of our other items.
That's right.
A new T-shirt, perhaps our new mug this year.
Yeah.
And we'll have some other little swag out there that you can acquire to show that you support KRVS, that you listen to KRVS. So those items will be out there, and we'll have other information about the station, bumper stickers and buttons and all kinds of ways to help promote KRVS.
And I also know, too, you know, so many people, they really enjoy, because you hear a lot of folks that have shows here, you know, on KRVS, and it's nice to be able to, I mean, sometimes a lot of folks have no idea what somebody even looks like. I just know a lot of people that come on here as a guest on my show, they get so excited when they meet Cecil in person, you know, because Cecil is just kind of this, boy, he's this voice that you hear every day out there, and that's a real treat for a lot of folks.
It is. You know, of course, in radio, you do have a persona.
Yeah.
And people who listen to KRVS are very aware of Cecil's persona,
yeah,
not only during Medicine Ball, but then during Jamon and then,
right,
Herman's persona. And so sometimes, you know, they are kind of private about that persona.
Yeah,
it's something,
yeah,
they create in the privacy of the studio. So there's often an interesting little interchange when people see them and realize what they actually look like. And sometimes it's a little bit different than their persona. But it's still something that we all enjoy. And even though sometimes it is a little bit out of our ordinary activities, getting out in the public is great. And we're glad for this opportunity as well to be there. And, you know, even though Herman will be doing hosting during his show, other people like Raoul Breaux and other announcers will be around and hanging around the tent. So
yeah,
that'll be a great opportunity.
Very
to meet
nice.
Them. Yes.
Well, one more great idea, Pat Mold.
I have them every now and then.
I mean, kudos. I'm not saying that just because you're here in the studio, but you've added a lot of wonderful things to Festival.
Well, again, you know? I mean, you know, it's a great group. I mean, I can't take total credit, although, you know, Barry and I work on the vision a lot. And then, you know, we've got a lot of support from our board to go out and make it happen. And this is just one more thing that we kind of felt would be a nice addition to the festival. You know, and I don't know. I think we're about additioned out. But, you know, there's still a whole nother side of the park on the other side of the lake. So, you know, who knows what's to come. And then next year, our 40th anniversary, we have all sorts of activities planned. We're working on an art exhibit at the Hayes Town home near the university. We're very excited
very
about
nice.
That, which is going to feature all the art from the 40 years of festival. So just you know, like I said, we're just continuing to look at ways to bring new things and evolve with the festival.
Okay. Well, we're going to – Judith, thanks for joining us.
We look forward to
everybody go and check out the KRVS Live.
Yeah, and have a chance to win a festival chair or a KRVS T-shirt.
That's right. That's right. We're going to listen, go back to Bill Bolins and Center for Louisiana Studies presents Festival Acadiens. That's 91 through 97. This actually, we were talking about Steve Rowley a little earlier. This was from 1993, and this is Steve Rowley and the Mamou Playboys.
This is something called Tigalo por la Puente Pan.
mountains in a beautiful eagle in Germany. Pas de manque, j'ai goûté ton bec. Si pas de manque, jamais pas mon tête. Eagle on est pour la pointe au pain. Eagle on est pour la pointe au pain. J'ai joli, mais donnez-moi cette larme. Si c'est pas cette larme, jamais pas l'idée.
Okay, that has been Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys. That was from, I think I said, 1993 from Festival of Acadiens. If you're just joining us, my guest in the studio today is Chef Pat Mould. But, I don't know, festival idea maker, as we're going to call him today, Chef Pat Mould in the studio. And folks, we're getting ready for Festival Acadiens at Creole, October 11th through the 13th, right here in Lafayette, Louisiana at Girard Park. Exciting time of the year.
Yeah,
the weather starts to cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, we got that little cool snap. And, you know, it's all, I mean, like I said, I mean, I've attended every festival and been involved actively for 20 years now as one of the organizers, and I'm just always excited about this time of year. You know, it's just something that's kind of ingrained in me, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. You've got some, you know, I was looking at all the different folks that are playing this year. And, I mean, if anybody wants to come for one weekend and catch a who's who playing in the music from this area, this is a perfect weekend to come do it.
Over 50 performances. I think we totaled it up. It's about 76 hours of music. And like you said, it's virtually a who's who of Cajun and Zydeco music. We've thrown in a little swamp pop for good measure because, you know, the connections that swamp pop has
to
our Cajun and Creole music. And
those swamp pop music fans, those are diehard music fans.
I mean, TK Hewland packs that tent.
That's
ball.
Right.
They come out for TK, and yeah, we're excited, man. We got Creole String Beans from New Orleans. That's Rob Savoy.
Yeah, that's Rob Savoy.
And his posse.
Yeah.
So we got a pretty good lineup. Sons of Voodoo, and then like I said, TK.
Sons of Voodoo. That's a Roddy's.
Roddy's nephews.
Yeah.
It's the, I don't know, fourth generation of Romero's making music.
That's right. And then the other thing too is always for Louisiana Folk Roots has their tent too, where they do a nice job with, you know, I think programming for the. For everybody, they do some focus on the kids.
Yeah,
there's interviews, there's playing, there's
again, it's one of those opportunities to kind of get up close and personal with some of your favorite musicians. It's not only a musical interlude, but it's an educational opportunity. It focuses on kids. We're gonna do a life and music of Buzu Chavez.
Yeah, who's Margaret John?
That's Buzu's daughter.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we're excited about having some of the family members. And then Dog Hill Stompers, who are playing the festival. That's all Buzu's grandkids.
Isn't that fabulous?
I know. It's great. And, man, they are really a great group. I mean, they played this, I think, might be their third time playing the festival. So they're getting to be veterans also, although they're all probably in their 20s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all Buzu's grandkids.
And then, you know, too, I love this, the Roots of Swamp Pop. That's with TK.
Yeah.
Rob Savoy is playing in that, and Rick Olivier.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice addition. Again, you know, Swamp Pop, it's like one of those duh moments, you know, when we're sitting around thinking about programming, and we're like, wait a minute, why aren't we doing this? Well, we included the Swamp Pop in the Bicentennial celebration last year because for the Bicentennial, we decided to focus in on all the genres of music that happened in the state of Louisiana, not just Cajun and Zydeco, but we had blues, Little Buck, and we had Swamp Pop, and we had some gospel. And then, man, the Swamp Pop, we got such a great reaction, and we're like, wait a minute, why aren't we doing more Swamp Pop?
Yeah,
because it is,
yeah.
it's all connected, you
That's
know?
Right.
And so we're gonna keep doing it over at the dance hall stage.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, too, being the year with the state of Louisiana Department of Tourism,
state of music.
Your music. So, you know, it's wonderful that you have it's such a great variety. Well, Festival Cariana Creole kicks off this year Friday, October 11th, and runs through Sunday, October 13th at Girard Park right here in Lafayette, not too far from the KRVS studios.
Nope.
Please check out the KRVS Live tent there, but you have everything for every, all the senses.
Yeah, we're excited. We got, we hit all on all the sensory buttons, the food, music, art, and culture. I want to encourage everybody. We have a brand new website that just went up, Festivals with an S, Acadiens, ACADIENS.com. And we'd like to encourage everybody to go on Facebook and hit like.
That's
also,
right.
We have a
and
great Facebook page.
Great thing on the with the website and Facebook, you can plan your day out, kind of get who do I want to see and can I get to which tent do I have to be at what time.
Yeah, the website is actually mobile friendly.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, have the schedule right on your phone.
Very nice. All right, Chef Pat Mould, thank you very much. Folks, get out to Festival Cariens at Creole. We're going to go out with the honoree for this year, Mr. Buzu Chavez.
Jolie Catin for you.